212-209-2900. Our guest, Mario Menendez, the editor-in-chief of Por Esto in Yucatan, Mexico. And I hope you've been listening to this incredible program here on Let 'Em Talk. WBAI does it again, 99.5 FM in New York City. And you're on the radio.
Hello? Hello, hello.
Hello? You're not. 212-209-2900. And you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Paul.
Hi.
Joni.
Hi.
Miss Joni Marie Musi.
Oh, thank
and
you.
Guests. Listen, speaking of making far-flung connections, Paul, how about this connection? What the Khmer Rouge did to the Cambodians.
Well, now, see, this is getting offline.
No, I know. Well, you want to make...
No, Jeff, keep on the topic, Jeff, and you can come back on. You're on the radio.
Hello?
Hello.
You're on 99.5 FM.
How about yourself? You're on the air.
Hello, this is a friendly shock caller.
All right,
hi,
hello.
A shocking hello to your guest.
All right.
And a shocking hello back.
Okay, shocking. And I missed parts of it, but I couldn't help hearing the rest of it. You know, I like to ask, like, three things. One, like, was the Cold... Do you think Latin America was worse off under the Cold War or the Drug War? Two, do you feel Latin America should have been... Which policy of Washington or Moscow, was it beneficial or negative? And three, I just forgot, but...
Yeah, that's enough. Skip three. That's a lot, too.
Yeah,
right.
Two is good.
The third had to do with short-term memory loss, no?
Sorry, something came in my mind, but I decided...
Let's go back. Let's take question one at a time. Question one again. Just one.
Okay, question one. Do you feel the Cold War or the drug war policy was good or worse off?
Well, I firmly believe... that one is the continuation of the other one. In the period of the Cold War, you had a confrontation from the big poles, political poles, economic and political poles. In Latin America, the big situation was that every country, or almost every country, was being repressed. The best of the sons, workers, peasants, were being repressed for just asking for a piece of land and the legal proprietary ownership on that land. For that reason, they were being shot or they were being disappeared. And that was Cold War. But at the time when the drug war comes in, that peasant... receives today 10, 20, 30, and 50 times the salary that he will be getting for producing food. Who is getting the benefits for that drug movement? The peasants, the countries, or the country that maneuvers, that controls the drugs? I will tell you, the biggest business in the world today is the drug commercialization. In the United States, which is the biggest consumer, they do not have to produce the cocaine, although it has been recognized that the United States is not only the biggest consumer, but the first producer of marijuana in the world. But I'm speaking about cocaine. Cocaine, the United States supposedly is dealing a big war against traffic of drugs. But that's a big simulation, the biggest simulation people can ever imagine. There are two types of drug movement. The institutional is the one that is absolutely controlled by the DEA and the special government offices and the non-organized drug movement, which is the one that gets out of the control of the American government. This drug movement is the one that the United States persecutes, declares wars on that, but does not declare the war on the drugs that are interested and are necessary for the market in the United States. I will tell you this. Cold War in the 1960s until the 70s, beginning of the 80s, the fall of the Soviet regime. It was tough, very tough for Latin American countries. But this period after the 1980s, and especially from the 1985 to this present day, it was degrading. It was humiliating, offensive to human dignity, what is happening, because you will pay the peasants and you will put in your nomina, in your account where you pay, how you call that?
In your bank account.
In your bank account, you will have the people that will serve you in every one of these countries. And these people will be millionaires in Mexico, in Colombia, in Peru, in Bolivia. The peasants just earning a little bit more money. But the people are hungry because we are not producing food. The land that is supposed to be designated for producing food is now producing drugs. And this is well known by the United States government. But we are speaking of a $600 billion business. And nobody wants to live that business. Mm-hmm. We are now, when we started to denounce the situation, I had a visit of a high chief of the DEA. He asked me, "Why are you doing all this?" And I told him, I asked him as an answer, "Why are you in the Drugs Enforcement Agency?" He answered me, "Something we have to live." Well, my goal as a journalist is not your goal as a Drugs Enforcement Agency man. I believe in serving people. I believe in working and searching the truth. I'm making this world a little bit better every day, more just. And he asked me, then he changed the conversation, what solution do you propose for the United States? I told him, that's not my problem, it's your problem. But he said, okay, it's our problem. Let's suppose you are a big wheel in the United States. What solution will you propose? I told him, the first thing you have to do is to legalize drugs. The second thing you have to do is in every health department that you have in these districts of every state of the union, you must have the control of all the people that are sick with the drugs. And that amount of drugs you have to give to each district. And at the same time, you will build institutes of rehabilitation. Now, I'm the first person to know that you will not solve the problem with this proposition. But you also have anonymous alcoholics, and you are helping many people with that institution. When you had prohibited alcohol in 1920s, people were killing themselves. You legalized it, you didn't finish with alcoholic problems. But you have institutions like Alcoholic Anonymous that work to help people solve their problems. This will continue. It's a problem you have to think about it with much imagination. And he answers me, "Do you know something, Mr. Menendez? If we do what you are proposing, there will be a crack in our economy. The business will go down. And that cannot be. You are fighting, I can never forget this, you are fighting a lost war."
This is what the DEA official told you when he visited you in 97.
That's correct. "You are not fighting a lost battle. You are fighting a lost war." And I told him, "Well, I'm idealistic. I will keep on fighting." And he retired. So that's what I'm doing. The problem, the man that asked me these questions, you have to get your own conclusion. Which time was worst, the Cold War or the present war drugs? I believe that this is the most terrible time because too much simulation, too much cynical attitudes, and besides that, we have the worst of all the crises. It's not economic crisis. We have the crisis of credibility. We have the crisis of confidence. And that's very tough.